So it's good to see everybody, and we're back from the feast, and we're back to our routines, and we're on a life's journey. And our life is indeed a journey and full of moments that can lift us up at times or can at times weigh us down. There are moments of joy, a hug from a family member, holding a newborn, reaching a goal that you worked hard for, seeing family members achieve success, or maybe it's reaching a milestone. But then there's also the pain that comes at times without warning, losing somebody close, facing a health scare, or struggling through a difficult situation. These ups and downs aren't just stops along the way. They are what shapes us individually. And it teaches us to keep going even though the path feels uncertain. The difficult times are very real and unavoidable. It's the nature of physical life. We will have challenges. Maybe it's a job loss that shakes our confidence, or a fractured relationship that leaves us raw, or the daily grind of responsibilities just wear on us. And those moments can feel very heavy. And we wonder at times, how much more can we take? Life is a winding journey, full of unexpected turns and cherished moments. Yet, as we reflect upon those moments, as we evaluate life, we are reminded that we're just passing through. We're on a journey for something greater, and we know that this life is just the initial part, just the very start of something greater in this journey. And we see this reminder in the following scriptures. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Where it states, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Two terms, sojourner and pilgrims. It's not enough to be a sojourner, but you have to be a pilgrim as well. What does that mean? Well, a sojourner, from Strong's exhaustive concordance, comes from para and oikos, having a home near, as a noun, a bydweller, an alien, a resident, a foreigner, sojourn, stranger. Then we have pilgrim, from the Greek here. It states, one who comes from a foreign country or city, into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives, hence stranger. Sojourning in a strange place, a foreigner. Let's take now a look at Hebrews 11, verse 13. And the passage here is what's called the faith chapter, as we well know, where faithful individuals such as Abraham and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah are mentioned. And it states, "These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth." Strangers and pilgrims. Well, stranger means foreigner or stranger. And pilgrim, as we saw earlier, one who comes from a foreign country. Sojourners, strangers, pilgrims. The words are similar, but each has its own nuance. Sojourner means not fully integrated, highlighting a temporary resident living in a foreign place, not fully integrated. Strangers, a lack of belonging, underscores a lack of belonging in the world where the true citizenship is in heaven. And in pilgrims, passing through, highlights a temporary, transient status with living with hope and faith in the future homeland, which has not been received. And we are to live this life as a stranger, as a pilgrim, as a sojourner. This is the nature of our calling. Yet, as members of God's family, we don't just sit back and just say, okay, we'll just take life passively. We're not really engaged. Just to let life happen to us, to be fearful of the world around us because we're not really of the world. But really, we are to embrace life's challenges. We are to embrace life's joys. We are to embrace life's lessons as we navigate the path of life. So today's message is entitled, Reimagining Our Identity on the Christian Path. Reimagining Our Identity on the Christian Path. And we'll approach this subject by examining three dimensions of what it means to be a sojourner or pilgrim or stranger. And then reimagining our identity as sojourners, pilgrims, and strangers in our journey, in our path, in our walk, in life. So the first dimension of being a sojourner or pilgrim or stranger is we consider our journey, our walkway, our path. Recognize the temporary nature of this life. We are reminded in Scripture that life is temporary, is brief. And it's amazing as we age, life seems to be briefer. Things that happened 40 years ago seem like yesterday. And it's hard to believe when you were a child, 40 years seemed like an eternity. And though it's a bit of a downer to think about it at times, it really should encourage us in some ways, in many ways, to live with purpose, to be thankful for every moment we have, and to focus what truly matters, because our life is limited. Building relations, sharing the love of Jesus Christ with others, and making a positive influence in others' lives, because our time is short. James 4, verses 13 to 14. James 4, verses 13 to 14. James 4, verses 13 to 14. It states, Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. I must be hungry. Sorry. We will go to such and such a city and spend time there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. In thinking about life's temporary nature, we can view life with a level of clarity. We see the difference between a distraction and what has true meaning, even though at times it's hard to see that distinction, especially when we're going through challenges in life as it takes its toll. The toll of hardships, whether it's loss, whether it's uncertainty, whether it's a struggle where we are engaged in, can dim our vision, can make it difficult at times to forget that we're just here temporarily. And we're more focused on that than what is eternal. Psalms 39, verse 12. Psalms 39, verse 12. Psalms 39, verse 12, where it says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry, and hold not your peace at my tears, for I'm a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. This verse captures a moment of vulnerability where David, burdened by life's challenges, acknowledges his dependence on God's mercy. His self-description as a sojourner underscores the transient nature of his existence as well as our existence on this earth. And by likening himself to his ancestors, who were also pilgrims in a temporary world, like Abraham, described as a foreigner and stranger, he recognized the temporary nature of life. But in these moments, we're not alone. Isaiah 41, verse 10. And I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 41, verse 10. It states, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." This verse assures us of God's constant presence and strength and promises to be there by at our side to endure trials, to let us know that even though at times when we feel alone, we're not alone in our struggles. By recognizing life's temporary nature, we're inspired to set aside the distractions, the things that may annoy us that really are not that important, and then really to embrace what gives our days meaning, what gives our hours meaning, what gives our minutes and seconds meaning. The second dimension of being a sojourner, stranger, and pilgrim we consider on our pathway is live distinctly in a lost world. We live in this world, yet our lives are meant to stand out against the prevailing culture. We are to be a beacon in this world, a beacon of hope and truth. And now this distinctiveness isn't about superiority or isolation, but it's about embodying God's kingdom in all we do. Integrity with our actions, generosity and kindness towards others, and a selfless love that causes people to wonder about us as we point people towards God. This lifestyle not only protects ourselves from the entanglement of things that can pull us down, but it invites others who see us, who know who we are, to possibly consider their own paths, to make a difference in their lives. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 through 12. 1 Peter 2, verses 11 through 12. It states, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe," they see you, they're observing you, "that they may glorify God in the day of visitation." I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Verse 12, be careful to live properly amongst your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. And what will they do? They will give honor to God when he judges the world." In 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12, we're urged to see ourselves as temporary residents of this world and to avoid situations and actions that harm our spiritual well-being, that can pull us away from God. And Peter calls upon all of us to live honorably amongst those who do not believe. And even if others falsely accuse us, our good deeds shine through, and potentially, possibly, lead others to glorify God when he returns, or when he reveals himself to them during this lifetime. The focus on living with integrity to reflect God's truth and influence others positively is what it means to live distinctly. To live distinctly doesn't mean drawing into isolation or assuming of an attitude of moral superiority. Instead, it means stepping into daily life with a different focus, one shaped by the values of the kingdom, shaped by humility, shaped by integrity, shaped by compassion. And this kind of life is unmistakable. It shows up in the employee who refuses to cut corners, even when no one is watching, choosing instead to honor God through excellence and honesty. It's visible in the student who chooses purity and truth over peer pressure, who defends the outcast, who defends the one that nobody will talk to, rather than joining in the mockery. It's displayed in the adult family member who shares stories of faith and resilience, inspiring the next generation to live their lives with wisdom and compassion. Living distinctly may mean choosing forgiveness over retaliation when wronged, or offering to help somebody who can offer nothing in return. And it could be as simple as speaking hope instead of cynicism in a culture that just thrives on outrage, to be a separate voice of clarity, of humility, and love in the age of outrage. When we live this way, and we don't live it perfectly, but purposefully, we offer an alternative. People can see an alternative to the chaos and confusion around us. Our distinct lifestyle becomes a testimony that can, at some point, influence others, as well as give us purpose in our journey. The third dimension of being a sojourner, pilgrim, and stranger in exile, as we consider our path, as we consider our journey, is to anchor hope in the eternal promise. As sojourners, as exiles, as travelers, as pilgrims, we are called to live with our eyes fixed on the eternal promise of God's kingdom, where our true citizenship lies. This hope and this vision can sustain us through life's challenges and trials, and it can inspire us to continue to live with purpose, trusting that God is preparing an everlasting home, not only for us, but for all of mankind. Hebrews 13, verse 14. Hebrews 13, verse 14. Hebrews 13, verse 14, it states, For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. And this verse complements the message of us being sojourners and strangers and pilgrims, emphasizing that our time on this earth is temporary, and our true home is the eternal city prepared by God. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 4. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 4. It states, and I'll read from the English Standard Version, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1, verse 4 notes the following as it relates to our journey. First, it's an inheritance. An inheritance. And it's echoed in the Old Testament with the inheritance of the promised land by the Israelites. But the inheritance we have is not physical territory, but spiritual, eternal blessing, fullness of salvation, eternal life, and fellowship with God. And it suggests family. Believers are children of God, like heirs, promised and has promised something of great value. Imperishable. It's not subject to decay or death. And unlike earthly possessions or inheritances, which fade and break down or lost, this inheritance will never be destroyed. Undefiled. Suggests purity and holiness, that no stain of corruption can ever spoil it, contrasted with earthly things that can be spoiled and tainted. Then unfading, and its beauty that does not diminish over time, its permanent delight and radiance of the inheritance, unlike the world we see where things come and go at a rapid time and things quickly fade. Kept in heaven for you. The verb here implies safeguarding. God himself is preserving this inheritance for us. It's a deeply personal sentence. This is not just a general promise, but it's one that is individually held, that something's being individually held for each and every believer. Having this perspective can help us endure life's challenges, whether it's loss, whether it's uncertainty, whether it's pain, by keeping our focus on the unshakable hope of God's eternal promise. Even in difficult times, and especially in difficult times. Just as Israel trusted God's guidance in the wilderness, we are called to live with faith in the city that is to come, which gives us strength to rise above distraction and trials. Romans 8, verse 17. Romans 8, verse 17. And I'd like to read from the New International Version. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in this suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. By anchoring our hope in the promise of the inheritance, we can embrace every day as a gift. We can navigate those challenges with resilience, and we can reflect God's love in a very temporary world. And knowing that our journey, our pathway, leads to an everlasting destination. So what about reimagining our identity on the path we walk in life? As sojourners, strangers, and pilgrims, we're called not only to recognize the temporary nature of our earthly existence and to embrace the mission we have been given and to live intentionally in purpose in a world that's not our permanent home. And this mission requires us to actively evaluate our priorities, asking ourselves, what captures our time? What captures our energy? What captures our focus? And are we consumed by temporary distractions that really, at the end of the day, have no meaning? Are we distracted by material pursuits or personal ambitions or trivial concerns? Or are we anchored in what holds eternal value, such as faith and love and being a light? With the idea of being active, let's reframe our journey a little bit, our mission, with a new term, one that aligns with concepts like sojourner, traveler, and pilgrim, but it also carries on with it boldness and purpose. Philippians 3, verse 13. And I'd like to read from the English Standard Version. It says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This scripture emphasizes a pursuit of a higher purpose with determination and with focus. Straining forward, press. It reflects the idea of moving forward with life's challenges and leaving behind past struggles and striving, working towards the eternal promise of God's calling. Much like a pioneer forging a new path with hope and purpose. It's active. It's alive. It's not just pay and pray and wait for the kingdom. The term I would like us to consider is trailblazer. According to the online etymology dictionary, a trailblazer is one who makes a path for others to follow. Typically figurative from trail and an agent noun from blaze, mark a tree or trail. According to Salesforce.com, which I found was an interesting way to define trailblazer, a trailblazer is a pioneer, an innovator, a lifelong learner, a mover and shaker, a leader who leaves a path for others to follow, and most importantly, a person who builds a better world for others. Are we not trailblazers? Are we not lifelong learners? Are we not innovators? Are we not people who lead and leave a path for others to follow? Are we not people who try to build a better world for others? A trailblazer's typically, when you think about the term, the word enthusiasm comes to mind, doesn't it? Because a trailblazer just doesn't go on the journey. They're excited about the journey. They're passionate about the journey, discovering new paths, learning new things, and inspiring others. Now, there's no Greek word for trailblazer in the Bible, and thus I can't mess it up with a pronunciation, which is a good thing. However, there is a close approximation found in Hebrews 6, verse 20, if we would turn there. Hebrews 6, 19 through 20. It states, "This hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." When we think about it, Jesus Christ is the ultimate trailblazer, the forerunner who forged the path to God's presence through his life, death, and resurrection. Described as prodomos in the Greek, meaning forerunner or runner ahead, Jesus Christ pioneered a spiritual trail by entering the holy place on our behalf. And he pierced the veil, which opened a personal and direct relationship with God for each and every one of us, establishing a path of salvation that invites all to follow with confidence. As members of God's family, we step into this path daily as trailblazers with Jesus Christ, pressing forward with purpose to reflect the light in us. Scriptures call on us, Ephesians 5:1 and 1 Corinthians 11:1, to imitate him, to imitate Jesus Christ. And that's what we do as we become trailblazers, as we are trailblazers in serving Christ. Like Paul, who pressed forward to lead others while following Christ, we emblaze a trailblazing spirit through faithful acts, welcoming a newcomer, encouraging the weary, praying with purpose for those who need help, doing the right thing when nobody else around us is doing it. And Scripture affirms this shared journey. Jesus Christ, as we know, is the light of the world, in John 18:12, and yet we are called to shine as lights as well. Similarly, the ultimate trailblazer who pioneered our faith, Jesus Christ, empowers us to be trailblazers on this path through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't claim the glory, but extend his light to others. In the context of our spiritual journey, a trailblazer isn't one who just merely wanders or endures as a temporary resident in this world. Instead, a trailblazer presses through and navigates life's uncharted trails. Those challenges, life's successes, while setting an example for others to point others to the eternal promise ahead for all of mankind. A trailblazer doesn't need grand gestures, just an enthusiastic willingness to take on the journey, to have a mind eager to learn, and the commitment to quietly shape a better world that he or she comes in contact with. Sometimes, just one small step at a time. It may be as simple as calling someone who is hurting, standing with someone who is being excluded, praying for someone in their time of trouble, whether a family member or not, whether they're inside the church or outside. The question we should be asking ourselves, how passionate are we? How enthusiastic are we about our relationship with Jesus Christ in the limited time we have on this earth? Are we just slogging through it, barely making it, enduring our journey, or are we blazing trails? Are we making a difference? And even if that difference is small, that difference points the person to Jesus Christ. Let's conclude with Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. I'd like to read from the English Standard Version. And this encapsulates our mission, our journey as members of the body of Christ. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's embrace the mission of a trailblazer, living each day enthusiastically with an external perspective, making a positive difference in the lives of others, whether it's family members, whether it's friends, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a fellow student, whether it's just a stranger. Making a positive difference, no matter how small it is, because it reflects Jesus Christ in us. We, from young to old, have something to offer. Every one of us is a trailblazer. We have something to offer. We have something to give to all we come in contact with on this path, on this trail, on this journey to the kingdom. Have a great remainder of the Sabbath.